Okay, I'm going to preach this morning. You don't need to stand. I've got a lot of text. You need to follow me along, and then I want to share on what God's put in my heart this morning. So good to see you. I'd like to say for our visitors, if you need a nursery facility, if you go out in the foyer, go down the stairs to the left, you'll find a nursery provided downstairs. And I trust and hope that would be a blessing for you. And so the book of Daniel. Book of Daniel. Brother Mike preached out of here the other night, and I'm not going to get in his sermon because he's got a great sermon to preach about Daniel in the den. But I do want to remind you a few things before I get into what the Lord's laid on my heart this morning. You'll find in the book of Daniel that God did a special work in a man's heart. And so Daniel was a young man that had been brought captive from the land of Judah. And so King Nebuchadnezzar took him. He was a young lad. He began to eat of what he had been taught to eat. He would not eat of the things of the day. And so God brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince and the eunuchs of chapter 1. And I tell you because why he did, the Bible said that he had an excellent spirit in him. Boy, isn't it a blessing to get around people, Brother Tim, that have the right kind of spirit in them. And before you're ever going to have the right kind of spirit on you, you've got to get the right kind of spirit in you. And the Bible says, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he's none of his. I'm glad in 1981, the Lord saved me, set up housekeeping in my heart. The Holy Spirit came in and sealed me to the day of redemption. I'm not working my way to heaven. I'm good as in heaven this morning. I'm glad the Father has saved us and sealed us and sanctified us. But now we find Daniel. He's an old man. We pick up in Daniel chapter number 5. He's been through the den. He's been through some things that only those experiences will bring to us. And so we don't find anything about Daniel. Seems like he's just been sort of put over on the sidelines. And, you know, that's sort of a positive note for us that have served God a long time. We say, well, there's a new generation coming up that's serving God. Well, I wish they would serve God the way we've been serving God and get out of these drama teams and praise bands and get back to having church. Amen. And so I rode a preacher around yesterday in the Philippines, and Brother David, he seen an old barn falling in, and he looked at his wife, and he says, now this is what we've seen pictures of old America. I'm glad we have an old America church in the walls of Liberty Baptist Church this morning. And I'm glad the saints of God can stand up and testify and be a blessing with the right spirit on them. I'm glad we got a choir, Brother Tim, stand up and sing the old songs, and I'm glad we got a desk that still holds this old sacred book of a King James Bible. But Daniel's been used mightily of God. Seems like now he's faded off the pages of the Bible, and God just sort of got him sitting over here to use him in some special occasions. And we find a new king's come to town in Daniel chapter number 5. His name is Belshazzar in verse 1. The king, little king, always remember that. Hey, he ain't king of kings, honey. He's little king. So Belshazzar, the king, he made a great feast. And he made it to 1,000 of his lords. And he drank wine before 1,000. And Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, he commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and the princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass and of iron and of wood and of stone. And in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. And old country Bowden binocular, buddy, the party's over now, and his knees is a knocking. His breeches legs is a shaking. Reminded me of the day I got married in the church house. I mean, my breeches legs was a shining my shoes. Somebody say amen right there. And so we find out the king's countenance changed. And his thoughts troubled him. And verse 7, the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayer. Somebody say you better leave them card readers alone. Amen. Soothsayer. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a gold chain put on his neck. He said, listen. He said that this writing on the wall said it's got to bother me, and I'm hunting somebody to tell me what it means. Well, he turned to the world and they couldn't find nothing. And so in verse 11, somebody speaks up and says, I know an old boy that done that one time. Said he's got a different God in him. Said he's a peculiar bird. Said, by the way, he's been on the list to be invited to the party because, you know, he was over all the fairs of this kingdom and he is in the Who's Who Club, but some reason he didn't come to the party, but we know where he is. And said that would somebody go get him and bring him in here and tell him that if he can tell me what it means, said, I'm going to give him a change of raiment and a chain of gold. And they went over there and sent for old Daniel. And I can just see old Daniel now, Brother Donald, like the average Baptist church. He says, oh, you need me now, do you? Yeah. Amen. Can I tell you, this young crowd don't know a lot what's going on, but I'm glad there's some old heads knows what's going on. You ought to thank God that you've got somebody around you knows a little bit about the workings of the Father. And so they get old Daniel, and I love what he says. The Bible goes on, and he says in verse 17, then Daniel answered, and he said before the king, let your gifts be to yourself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I'll read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. You know what he said? I ain't for sale. He said, you keep your little girly-looking garments. You keep your chain of gold. He said, but by the way, I'm going to tell you free of charge what God's telling you. And so, the Bible picks up. And he told him, he said, you know something? He said, in verse 18, O thou king, the most high God, gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and a majesty and glory and honor. In other words, he brought him a history lesson up in front of him. He said, your granddaddy, by the way, you'll never see where they mentioned grandfather. This word father meant granddaddy. And so he said, your granddaddy had the same problem, but said, you ain't learned something from your granddaddy. Said, God give him a dream, and it humbled him, and it's got you big-headed. And he said, I interpret it to him, and I'll interpret it for you. So he gave him a little history lesson. Boy, can I tell you, America better go to looking at the history lesson. Can I tell you, the Bible says, all wickedness and all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. It's amazing to me how socialist America's gotten, and we have befriended the people that God said we better draw a line in the sand and not accept their gods. Isn't it amazing the Muslims in New York will pray in the streets and they'll stop traffic and let them continue, but if it was Christians, they'd lock them up. Boy, I'm going to tell you, America better get back to reading this Bible.
And so he interprets this dream. And I'll get there in a minute, but I want to hurry up and give you my text because I'm really wanting to preach this morning. And you'll find over in verse number 5 where I want to preach out of today. The Bible said, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. I want to preach on this simple thought this morning, on the handwritings on the wall. The handwritings on the wall. Now, for some of you young crowds, you don't understand that, but this older crowd, we understand that. I mean, it means that you seen it coming. And I always go back to what my heritage has taught me. A lot of times I've seen the writing on the wall about America. America's going to a bad place this morning. No longer is wrong, and it seems like that black is black and white is white. Seems like now we're in a country where everything's gray and nothing's wrong. Can I tell you this morning, the Bible says that adultery is still wrong. Somebody say, can I tell you the Bible says that killing babies is still wrong. Can I tell you the Bible says that homosexuality is still wrong this morning, friend. And there's one God and there's one way to heaven, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. Brother Lee, I like what you said this morning. I'm going to stay on my side of the fence because I know who's on my side of the fence. Thank God Jesus is with everybody that'll stand on this book. And thank God I see the writing on the wall. Now, I want to share these three thoughts with you and we go home. First of all, notice the drunken feast. The drunken feast. In Daniel 5, verse 1, Belshazzar the king. Why does everybody think when you throw a party, alcohol's got to be involved? So I'm going to take my coat off so I can preach a little bit to you. Some of you look like you need a little preaching this morning. But can I tell you, friend, why does it seem like that you can't have a good time unless alcohol's involved? Some of the best times I ever had is with those that are born again by the grace of God, blood washed in the Lamb, and get together around an old campfire and sing an old song and talk about how good God's been. Can anybody help me preach this morning? Well, we don't need alcohol to have a party this morning. Thank God I'm having the time of my life. You say, well, preacher, you're one of them Bible thumpers. Thank you for that great, great recommendation this morning. Thank you for that good plug for Jesus. I'm glad that I'm on the winning side. Honey, I ain't got to have my party in a bottle. I ain't got to smoke weed and take me out of this world. Honey, I'm hooked into another world. I'm glad the Lord come by and put me in the family of God, washed away all my sins, and I'm getting high on things this morning that this world knows nothing about. Whoop, whoop. Hallelujah. Somebody shout this morning. I'm glad I'm saved by the good grace of God. And so here we see a drunken party. Number one, notice the madness of wine. The madness of wine. Wine will make you crazy, friend. Hey, some of you don't need no more alcohol. You're so crazy now, nobody can take you. I mean, I sure don't need nothing to make me more crazy this morning. My wife does good to live with me the way I am. The madness of wine. Watch this. He said the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. So the madness of wine. Look in Proverbs chapter number 20 today. Proverbs chapter number 20. You know, we think, well, a little drinking's not going to bother nothing. Let's see what the Bible says. Let's really see what side of the fence you on this morning. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived, thereby is not wise. Boy, that's a tool of the devil, Brother Lee. Take you a little social drink. I guarantee you, listen to this old preacher this morning. A drunkard never become a drunkard overnight. Somewhere he took the first drink. Some of you not hooked on cigarettes this morning because you smoked a pack the first day. You started one time. Somebody say amen right there. Now, I'm not throwing rocks, done been there and wore that t-shirt out, but thank God He has delivered me. Somebody shout amen this morning. And so we see certainly here mockers, strong Greek, and the Bible says whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now turn over to Proverbs 23:29. Proverbs 23:29, about the madness of wine. Why, it don't hurt to drink a little wine. Don't hurt to have a little mixed drink. Well, it don't hurt to have prayer neither. It don't hurt to have some Bible reading either. You get filled with the Holy Ghost, people around you think you drunk, friend. Proverbs chapter number 23, verse 29. Who hath woe? Who's got sorrow? Who hath contentions and who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, and they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They've stricken me, shalt thou say, I was not sick. They beat me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. That's just like a drunken stupor. Notice here what the Bible says. He says in verse 32, at the last it a bite like a serpent and stings like an adder. And then thine eyes shall behold strange women. Hey, friend, you just keep messing with that and you're going to cheat on your wife for long. You know what that does? That fills you full of junk and you think you're bulletproof, but you ain't bulletproof. You ever notice a fella get a drink and he's about this tall and all of a sudden he becomes Goliath? Until, look at some of you had short man syndrome. Somebody say amen right there this morning. I always dreaded to see my boss about this tall. He had to prove to me he was this tall. What he says, and I shall behold strange women, thine heart shall utter perverse things. You know, all them country stars, they only write what they know about. You've heard about all them women get prettier at closing time. Yeah, because they've been drinking too much. Somebody say, you little hen peck rascal, go on, say amen right there. Some of you hiding behind your wife's pocketbook, you know I'm preaching right this morning. Yea, and thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea. Ain't you ever drunk? Let me tell you that old wives' fable. Said, if you get too much to drink, you put your foot on the floor, the room quits spinning, it don't work. Don't work. Said, just like you're going in the waves of the sea. Rock, rock, rock. Rock, rock, rock. And boy, watch this. Oh, you having a good time, ain't you? Watch this. He said, and he shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast, upon top of where the sail is. Said, it's just like you've climbed right up to the top, and the waves got rough, and now, I mean, everything's spinning and out of control. Then watch what happens. Yeah, and they have stricken me, shalt thou say I was not sick. They beat me and I felt it not when I shall awake. You ever woke up and say, my goodness, what happened to me? And then he says this, but I will seek it yet again. You say, boy, I'm having fun. Oh, you having fun puking your guts out. Oh, let's go get a bottle and have fun. That don't look like fun to me, friend. Don't look like fun to me, Brother Lee, with a car he'd head on out yonder on the ditch bank and a mom and daddy out yonder in the mower grieving over their baby because some stupid drunk driver had too much to drink. Somebody help me preach this morning. Oh, but we want a social drink, you know. We're the inn church, and it's okay to take a little drink. You better read what your Bible says, honey. Them no harm birds, for long they're flying over your head. And I can't do nothing about a bird flying over my head, but I can keep them from making a roost in my hair, amen. Be sure you're seeing a fine guy. And that's where America is. Nothing's wrong no more. Wish I could be around some of our members, you buying your little old bottle. I'd love to walk up and see that little paper bag in your hand. I say if you'd pay your tithes for that, it'd do you a lot better down at your house. Quit giving the devil your drinking money and give it to God. He may make something out of you. Somebody help me preach this. Hey, just cause the house full don't mean you got to get mealy mouth on your preacher now. Help me preach a while. Muscadine's in season. I'm a deer hunter. Man, I'm setting up on the biggest droves of muscadine vines out there. Them deer love them muscadine. And Baptists love them too when they squeezed out and fermented. Somebody say amen right there. It'll kill you just like it kills them deer. Said, I'll seek it yet again. Ain't that amazing how addicting it is? You listen to me, young people. You ain't got to drink their booze. You ain't got to smoke their dope. You ain't got to run with that crowd. Jesus said, be you separate and come out from among them. If you want to be different in your crowd, don't do what they do it. They'll know where you are and what you stand for. You don't have to do what your schoolmates is doing to belong. Hey, why don't you get you some Bible heroes instead of looking at all these kind of people out of Hollywood going to die and go to hell. Get you some Bible heroes. Little gals ain't wearing enough dress to cover up their hind end. You don't need to dress that way. You don't need to dress that way, young ladies. And you ain't got to run with a crowd to be somebody. Be somebody for Jesus. Little girls, you can put yourself in a predicament and in 15 minutes be like any other girl. You ought to keep yourself pure for your husband to wedding day. Somebody help me preach. Well, preacher, you ain't having no membership drive, are you? No, I'm just trying to preach what God give me. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't preach to you. Bunch of compromising liberal Baptist preachers. They got their eyes on the crowd instead of the book. And they've gone to conform into the world. They've got scared to preach, honey. The Bible said your sin will find you out. You can still do right, be a Christian and be proud of being a Christian. Thank God I'm a Christian. Maybe it's an honor that I'm not called to preach at everything. Ain't it funny they ain't called me to pray at the prayer breakfast? Drunken feast. We see the madness of wine. Number two, we see the mockery of worship. That's where we are today, by the way. Verse number two, Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, he got bulletproof. But you know what? He's fixing to cross the line, friend. He got to messing with something he didn't want to mess with. He tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels, which his father or grandfather Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple that was in Jerusalem. The king and his princes and wives and his concubines might drink therein. They brought the golden vessels that was took out of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. The king and the princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. And they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, brass of iron and wood and of stone. Sounds just like our country to me. Sounds a lot like some Baptist churches. We better remember, friend, who God is. America's been blessed so much. It grieves my heart to go to the Philippines and preach and come back and see America, how unthankful we are. It grieves my heart. That preacher yesterday, we went down, we rode the boat with Brother Mike, we pulled in, got gas, and he got out and he looked around and he said, my, this is amazing. Only in America. Only in America can you look and there's boat storages with people's boats and trucks and cars and weekend homes. Only in America. And drinking themselves to a drunken stupor. And they can't even raise their hands on church day and say, thank you, God, for blessing me. He said, preacher, I'm afraid America's in trouble. America is in trouble. He said, I tell you why I'm so scared about America. Because so goes America, so goes the Philippines. So goes America, so goes the world. You better be glad you're in a church this morning. We're the only ones that's holding this world together. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Thank God we can raise our hands. We can raise our head, friend, and say, thank you, Lord, that you are our God of salvation. Thank you, you are the God that's blessed America this morning. But I see the handwriting on the wall. We see a drunken feast. Number two, we see a sobering finger. Could you imagine this old boy? Is it okay, it's 12 o'clock? Can I preach a little while longer? I really enjoyed studying this sermon yesterday. I got a lot in me. Drunken feast, but a sobering finger. Verse 5. The same hour. Now, boy, he's having fun. He's making fun of all them Christians. They pulled sacred things and they've made light of holy things. You listen to me, Mr. Obama. I hope you listen by internet. Sir, I respect you and I pray for you, but you better read the history book. Sir, you've made light of holy things. America's made light of holy things. They pulled the riches of God out of the temple, began to flaunt, began to make fun. And I tell you, it's one thing you do. I tell you one thing you do. You mess with a little boy down the road and it upset me. But you go to messing with folks down there in my house. And that's what this boy done. He said, now you've got personal. Can I tell you, America, we've got personal now. We've got personal now. You know, it's okay to pray to God. Don't you say nothing about Jesus because you're drawing a line in the sand. And you're going to offend all the Muslims that sweep in America if you say something about Jesus. If we burn their Koran, the world riots. But they burn our Bible, nobody says nothing. Would somebody help me preach this morning just a little while? Buddy, I'm going to tell you what. He sobered up when he seen that handwriting come on the wall. I'd love to have been there, Brother Randall. Wouldn't that have been a sigh? He's sitting there laughing. All of a sudden he said, I want to tell you, as a pastor of this church, I see the handwriting on the wall on some of you. It scares me for you. You know why it scares me? Because you ain't got a chance without God. You think your pocketbook's going to heal your youngin' when you need God to touch him? Do you think that your job is going to satisfy spiritual things? You better get your head screwed on right. You better get your heart and your face in this book and realize where your blessings come from. Ain't it amazing, Pastor? Boy, God is... Oh, I wish I had an hour. And I don't want to seem big-headed, but God's made me a pastor, brother. He's put stuff in my guts, in my heart. And I see things that trouble me about my people. They go to drifting. I mean, hit or miss. A lot of you think that I preach on this discipline and this going to church just because I'm a mean preacher. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't preach to you. You get stability here. You get strength here. You get help here. The devil loved to kick you out there. And this house full of young'uns, they'd love to... Let me tell you something. You go on and mark this down. He's going to try to cross you up over your young'uns. You get 80 young'uns in a church and fight's going to break out. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, fight's going to break out. Boys going to be boys. They're going to pop each other and they're going to slap each other. But they'll get up, let them dust it off, and you quit fooling with it and go on for the grace of God. And you girls, you get a little cat fight and you want to get your mom and daddies all involved, and then the Lord is dealing with your heart and you won't mind Him, and the devil gets you out of church. I can tell you countless families got their feelings hurt over their children, and the devil found an inroad and he used it to get them out of the house of God. We better quit gloating over all these children. We better go to praying over them. Thank God the house is full. Look around, the house is full. You think the devil likes that? You think the devil likes the balcony nearly full? He knocked you out, He's going to knock you out. Some of you need to get some tough skin and some glue in your britches. Would you turn around and tell folks by you He's a preaching this morning? You know, it takes tough skin to go to Walmart, park plumb out yonder at the pizza place, and walk plumb in there to that mob, and you don't say nothing about it. Well, the church is too full. Thank God it's full. I wish you're sitting on top of it. We still got about 70 up yonder before we got to build a building. We might as well go and preach and say who's going to pay for this thing. But buddy, I'm going to tell you one thing. If Obama's not done nothing else, maybe he's going to wake the people of God up. And I'm not lambasting him. I'm telling you where our world's headed with that leadership. That Bible says we're to pray for our president. God's put him in office. You didn't put him in office. God put him in office, what he said. We're to pray for him. But let me tell you something. Wrong is wrong and right is right. We're to stand our ground and stand on this Bible. Wrong is still wrong. I don't give a rip who's where.
Somebody say it's good preaching. Somebody say it's good preaching.
Sobering fingers, the Bible said. He wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. I want to say in verse 5, it was an unexpected message. You ought to thank God for unexpected messages. You ought to thank God He's give you a message when you was going in the wrong direction. You ought to thank Him that He shook you. You ought to thank the Lord for it. Some of you men, just like I've been, you're not proud of your past. Thank God it's gone by the blood of Jesus. But aren't you glad somebody come by and shook us with a message? I'll never forget the old man, Brother David Daniel, and Herb Kennedy. I mean, my God, he stood up one night and I never heard a man stand up and testify in the Holy Ghost. He scared me to death. He said, hey, I want to tell you. He said, the day I got saved and I got home, said even my milk cow looked different. He said, the dog, I've been kicking out the porch. I reached down and said, hello, pooch, glory to God. That old man scared me to death, but I knew it was something in him that I needed, Brother Doe. Brother Doe, I think a lot of times, sir, I wish I could have preached in your era of the day when the old-timers loved preaching and they'd raise the windows up and look in the house of God, the man of God preaching and respond to the message of God. You ought to thank God one time He gave you a message on the way you was headed. You'll notice it was an unexpected message, and it was an undeniable message. He wrote it down. Can I tell you, this is an undeniable message. I don't know why some of you want to shoot the messenger. Why don't you go mess with a mailman the way you want to put your mouth on your preacher? All I'm doing is putting mail in your box. Brother Tim's a postmaster. We got folks that deliver the mail. Sister, you ever have anybody out there waiting on you on your mail route and say, now, Mag, you quit putting them bills in my box. You don't talk to the delivery person. You talk to the sender. Can I tell you, he's wrote this down. It don't matter what you think. You say, well, preacher, I don't believe it's a hell. Well, that don't change the fact you're going there unless you get saved by the grace of God. It's wrote down this morning. Oh, it's an undeniable message. It's an undesirable message. Don't nobody like to see the handwriting on the wall. Hey, sir, if you don't love that young girl now, you've been married a few years, what you going to do in 30 years? I see the handwriting on the wall. You ain't going to make it. Some of you, I mean, any little old thing, you get your feelings hurt at church, I see the writing on the wall. You ain't going to make it long. I mean, you can't even get to church. I see the handwriting on the wall for you. That makes you mad, don't it? I mean, you'd love to pop my jaws. Well, you just love to pop my jaws. But you know there's too many rednecks in here this morning for you to make that move.
Amen, brother.
It's It's an undesirable man. It just make you mad. Preaching will make you mad morning. I mean, get down in your crawl and get in your guts and get in your bed. I mean, I'm telling you, honey, that kind of preaching will mess you up. That preacher. That preacher. Yeah, 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 yeah. It ain't the preacher bothering you, it's the book bothering you. This kills me. I had a family of two leave one time because they got mad about what I was preaching. And they went to one of the most seasoned mule skin preachers I've ever seen and sit down there. And you know what, Brother Tim? The same thing happened there as it did here. It was the preaching got them. Brother David, I seen the writing on the wall when they left. I said, you just think I preach, buddy. You wait till that cat breaks it out Sunday morning. I just love to see that. It ain't the preacher bothering you. It ain't the preacher bothering you. Let me tell you something. This boy loves you this morning. You think I'd walk out of a corporate world to do what I'm doing if God hadn't told me to do it and I didn't love this church? If I didn't love you, I wouldn't preach to you. I'd just soothe you. But I'm going to stand before God one day, and I'm going to give an account of this old boy and what I preached to you. It's an undesirable message. He didn't like it, did he? His partying style didn't agree with the preaching, did it? Now down yonder at the big churches, though, the preaching will agree with the party style. Oh, it's okay. How can you win anybody if you don't be like them? What about Daniel? They had to call for him. He wasn't around that crowd. Somebody say amen right there. Come out from among them. Be said. They know who to call. When people get sick, why don't they call the game warden? They won't get married. Why don't they go get the judge instead of call the preacher? I mean, the first time somebody died, oh, Lord, call the preacher. We're just human too. You're the meanest thing I've ever heard preach. Now, preaching messes with you. You ready for round three? It's an unexpected message. You ought to thank God He's talked to you at an unexpected time. You ought to thank the Lord He loved you enough on the road you was headed on, He got your attention. Undeniable message, undesirable message. But in verse 10, watch, it's an unchangeable message. The queen said something to him. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king, this is what she said. O king, live forever. She is a politician. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. Oh, just keep a doing what you're doing. You know that wasn't God dealing with you. Little liberal hussy. She must have been on the Oprah Winfrey show. Wish I could call them women's name. Honey, who's that mean red-headed woman there on TV I don't like? Joey. That's good enough for me. Don't get quiet on me now. I'll get name-calling. The Bible said rebuke before all that others may fear. Made fun of Christians and Jesus the other day. I can't believe God didn't blow the TV up. Handwriting's on the wall. A drunken feast of sobering fingers, but a condemned future. Look what this message told him. Preacher, what did it say, the handwriting on the wall? Well, why didn't they understand what God wrote? I can tell you why Daniel understood it, because it was his daddy's writing. You know, the Bible said the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they're foolishness to him, Brother Lee. People think you crazy coming here and a man preach out of this Bible. But somewhere down in there, you know there's a God. And you know that life is short and you're fixing to head for eternity. And you know this book says you better be saved by the grace of God. So you better be listening to the writing on the wall. Now watch this condemned future.
something happens. He says this. Verse number 26, he interprets it. He says the word mene. In other words, God hath numbered your kingdom and finished it. His days were numbered. Can I tell you all our days are numbered? Let me share. I want you to come. I feel like I'm losing the people this morning. You better realize our days are determined in the book of Job. There's a line. We want you listen to me, young people. I would love to tell you you'll live to my age. I can't promise you that. All I can promise you this is today's the day of salvation. This is the dressing room for eternity. You can be saved now. Thank God, little old Vicky come to the Lord Sunday night. The Lord saved. She's just a new person. Aren't you glad God still saves old sinners? Brother Lee said it right. You're not going to humble yourself till you see who you are. You say, well, I'm a good person. Well, let's see what God told him here in the message. Look what he says now. He said, not only was his days were numbered, but his deeds were weighed. Verse 27, there's a word, tekel. Thou art weighed in the balances and aren't found wanting. You know, a lot of people say, well, preacher, I've got this all figured out. You go to church, you do good, you pay your tithes, and at the end of life's way, at the judgment seat, when we die, we're going to stand before God. And if our good works outweigh our bad, then we get to heaven. That is a lie out of hell this morning. He said, buddy, you've been put in the balances and you found wanting. You better know that your sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus. And you know, church, we think a lot of times people know what the term saved is, what it means. Let me tell you something. Jesus said if you'd come to Him by faith, He would know why I was cast out. We're saved by grace through faith. What Jesus done for us on the cross. The Baptist didn't die for you. The Methodist church didn't die. Jesus died for you. He hung on a cross. And you know, right now I can tell you what, all of your good works, the balance is tipped toward the bottom. But ain't it amazing when Jesus gets on the scales and He tips it up? I'm so glad Jesus got on my scale and tipped it the other way. He said, I found you in the balance wanting. Not only was His days numbered, His deeds weighed. Verse 28, His dynasty was finished. Oh, I'm bulletproof, preacher. No, you're not. He said, Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes. He said, you know what, Belshazzar, your day's over. It's over. It's over. Verse 30, his death was eternal. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. I see the writing on the wall. You ever heard that term? I see the writing on the wall. They come in and take over at your plant. A lot of you have been there a long time. You know what you say? I see the writing on the wall. This morning I say this by the gospel. If you want to be saved, you can be. Some of you couples this morning, you ought to line up around this altar and say, God, Lord, I need You more than I've ever needed You. Folks, our home needs the Lord more than it's ever needed. And this is what the devil will say. Brother Jerry, the devil will say, well, listen, if you and your wife come down to the altar, people's going to think that you've been doing bad, you're not getting along. I'm going to tell you what, you better thank God for preventive maintenance. Miss Sherry, if you just play for me. I know I've been long. But I want to ask you something, Miss Mom. What you need? Would you come? These altars are open. Maybe you need something for your life.